this on then. We'll call this meeting to order. If you could please rise for an invocation, a moment of silence. And also, we would like to remember three young ladies that were tragically lost yesterday, and we continue for their prayers for the families and them. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm going to have two moments of public input tonight. We have a subject item to deal with the Kratom ordinance. And if we have anybody here that would like to speak for that, we're going to wait for the public input at that such time. But is there anybody else with any other public input at this time? Mr. Mendez, would you like to come up to the podium?
Jake Mendez Jr., civil rights activist, an ACLU Washington, or ACLU Washington member and an NAACP member as well. I just want to thank the city council for acknowledging those three teenagers that have tragically lost their lives on the Ventron. And it's something that I hope in the far future and so on that we do recognize them because they are part of us. And it's sad that these families, I don't know if there are three separate families or all one, but I just want to give my deepest condolences to the family. And just like I said in the last city council meeting, that these state routes 26 and 28 are becoming very dangerous, regardless of the circumstances. But I just want to say that my heart goes out to the family, and I just want to thank everyone who was involved assisting with that situation. And I want to give credit where credit's due. I would like to thank the Adams County Sheriff's Office. I would like to thank the Othello EMS. I would like to thank the Othello Police Department. And also the Fire District 5, if they were there. Yeah, this is reality, folks. These families are going to find a way to decide to bury their children and how to come up with the financials to bury all three of them. It's very tragic, very serious, and that we got to come to a much better solution out here in these county roads. Now, I have no idea what these Adams County commissioners are doing. They're not very vocal of the safety of what's going on out there. And I'm willing to call them out. And I'm tired of it. I had it up to here with it. Enough is enough. We need to enact more safety around here. I have no idea what the roundabouts are going to do or prevent from here on out, maybe 5-10 years from now. We won't know that data until that data is collected. Comparing it from 4 years from now, or 4 years prior to maybe 4 to 5 years from now. We're going to see the statistics on that. Also, I just want to say that our local parks here are becoming more unsafe for families and children to attend. When we got reports of children assaulting other children, adults verbally harassing other children there at the park, it's becoming more dangerous. And a friend of mine had mentioned that out on the West Coast, up in the Seattle area, there's one officer for every park. And it reduced crime. It reduced of any thefts, harassment, so forth, and so on. And to me, that's not a bad idea. But maybe that's something in the far future you guys could think about. Maybe increasing the more staff of the Othello Police Department. And to get that maybe possibly going so that families and children could be safe and have someone, a law enforcement there on site and handle the situation when there's other situations going on at the same time. It'll reduce time. It'll reduce having the wait time to get there when there's already an officer there. So that's just something I just wanted to throw out there. Maybe get that going. Maybe something you guys can think about. Yeah, I'm very heartbroken and very sad that, you know, that under that circumstances, those three teenagers are gone. And I just want the city council to understand the harsh reality when it comes to safety within the city limits and out in Adams County. And whatever you're working with through the Adams County commissioners, you guys got to do something. This isn't it. It's not showing enough that it's safe within these county roads, regardless of any circumstances, DUIs, speeding, distracted driving, weather conditions that may have prevented an accident. So those are all the things that I just want the city council to be more thoughtful of. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Jake. At this time, I'll take roll call. All council members are present, and we have Councilwoman Camp online with us tonight. Hello, Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, thank you.
Great, thank you very much. So all council members are present. At this time, I would entertain a motion for approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Got a first and a second. Any discussion on it? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? So carries unanimously. Now we'll go to the consent agenda.
A motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
We have a first and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? So carries. We will go on to current business. First thing on current business is approval of accounts payables.
I'm responsible for this one not being under consent agenda. And frankly, I would like to see it like this every time. I think monitoring the funds we spend is important just to fly by in the consent agenda. So I'm on the warrant approval committee, and there's a couple warrants that stood out for me that I would like more information on or give comment on before I approve. And the first one is, I feel some of our main responsibilities are public safety and delivering potable water. And so the first invoice is check number 63352, which is $48,000 to Snyder Water Services for a well 7 rebid, or I don't know, it says pull pump, inspect and report. And I'm hoping for $47,000, we got more than a report, that we got it online. Can we comment on that?
Yeah. So in February, on February 16th, we approved a contract with Snyder Electric, and it's Snyder Water Services, in the amount not to exceed $62,106.80. To pull the well 7 and do an inspection. So they pulled that pump and they camered the hole, and that is all that we have done. It needs a new pump. They gave us a report. It needs a new pump. The well needs cleaned. All the screens that bring the water into the well are clogged. So that's a lot of the reason our well was declining in the amount of water we could deliver. So we're gonna go out back out to contract to clean the well, do a well test to determine what the drawdown is and how quickly we can pull water out and if we can get it back to the 800 to 1,000 gallons a minute, and then we need to purchase a new pump. So the motor is good, but the pump is bad.
Where is well 7?
Down by Bench Road.
Okay.
Okay. And now I'm seeing the well in Lyons Park. That looked like it didn't go as planned.
Well 3, we had lost some bearings. So that well is in the process of being, they put it back in, they just haven't brought it online. So that's supposed to happen this week, and they need to do some pump to waste to get it so we can get it back online. They have to do some testing before we can actually bring it back online. But that should be back online by the end of the week.
Okay, I thought I heard it running and I saw the hot water coming out of the hydrant, mm-hmm. but now I see the pump off and sitting on the ground.
Yep, so they're doing some testing and getting it back together.
Okay, but beyond that, it's okay?
Yes.
I just comment that when I was on council 15 years ago, these wells gave me heartburn at every meeting. And so I just like to keep in tune to what's going on with that.
The importance of our water treatment plant, that we can use some surface water during the summer as well.
Make sure you get some tubs because it's going to continue. Yeah.
The other invoice is check number 63322, which is a payment of $11,836 to Employee Security Department, and this is claimant Sean Logan, quarterly benefit of $11,800 for unemployment. My comment on this invoice as follows. This is an illegal expenditure of public funds. Two possible scenarios leading to this. This was the mayor position with the job description responsibilities, including those that are consistent with a city administrator. The county auditor and the Adams County prosecutor, who provide legal advice to the county, agree that this is the case. And this is why Mayor Johnson had to pay a filing fee of $1,900, reflecting a $190,000 salary for the mayor position only. An elected official voted out of office is not eligible for unemployment. The other scenario is that the individual was both the mayor and separately the city administrator. This is a violation of IRCW 35A.12.030 that states, I have the RCW, a mayor or council member shall hold within the city government no other public office or employment. The city provided documents to the county stating that the mayor's salary for filing fee purposes was $17,222. This was prior to the filing. In this case, the filing fee should have been $170. Thus, an admission that the mayor job and city administrator positions were two distinct roles. Violating Washington State's RCW is also not a legal path to collect unemployment. Myself and the taxpayers of this community should not be on the hook for this expenditure.
Okay. Any further comment?
Mr. Mayor, in light of the information provided, that expenditure might require further review by our legal counsel. Before it's approved.
Okay. I believe what we can do is pull that one off to the side, or does it need to be?
So we received a bill from LNI, the Employment Security Department, to pay for the previous city administrator's unemployment, or they pay, then they bill us and we pay that. In this case, we've always seen these two positions as two separate positions. We've gone back and forth with LNI when this first came up. I believe it was in January that the request for unemployment was filed. So that was filed, and we had a discussion with LNI to kind of paint the picture. This is what happened, and this is what didn't happen, and this is just kind of a lay of the land for LNI. who provided them a number of documents so that they could make a determination. And they ultimately determined that there were two parts to the salary here. One was a payment to the mayor for, well, there was a mayor salary and then there was the administrator salary. And they agreed that we don't have to pay the unemployment for the mayor, the mayor portion of his salary, but they did determine that we had to pay the unemployment for the administrator portion. And so that's where we're at today. We have our invoice for the first quarter, and I would anticipate receiving likely one more for the second quarter, and then that clock runs out. So I don't know that we can say no to L&I, honestly. Mm-hmm. We can disagree. We can have all kinds of different opinions about, you know, across the board on this issue. But it's a bill from L&I, and that's where we're at.
Well, if he paid into L&I, he's got the right to claim unemployment. If he paid into L&I, which you did, he's
City
got...
City is actually self
okay.
insured for employment. When he files it, though...
For unemployment, yeah.
Unemployment turns around and sends us the bill for it, what he's paying, because we self-insure for that. But I could go back. There was a change made in the ordinances at the end of November, which changed that, which actually did make Sean the city administrator and held him in at that position. That's why I had to take the actions I did after the first of the year.
I agree with that, but my interpretation is that ordinance was in violation of a state RCW.
Spencer, have you guys, have we completely exhausted the appeal process on L&I?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then that's where we're at.
Yeah. We went back and forth.
That's that.
We went back and forth a number of times to make sure that the picture was clear on their side.
Okay.
They informed it was a violation of RCW?
They have their own attorneys, and I can't speak to that.
Well, if this is paid by you folks, I will forward it to appropriate state agencies for review because I think it is illegal, totally. And I don't want to set a precedence that you can violate RCWs and or get voted out of office and collect unemployment.
It's the decision of the council. What they would like to do. We got a couple options here. We can either proceed and pay all accounts payable as presented tonight, or you can pull that one off for further review, and we would have to bring it right back to the next meeting.
I'd like to pull it off for more review.
This is Kelly. I agree. I would also like to pull it off for more review.
I'd like to make a motion to amend the amounts, the accounts payable section to remove number 63360, the warrant number, from the list and have it reviewed by legal counsel before action is taken.
Mm-hmm. And is that to approve the further accounts payables also?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Pulling the one and yes, Mr. approving Mayor. The further one. Okay, I got a motion made.
Second.
So
we have, yes, go ahead.
I just had a question about what that further review entails. We don't want to wait too long and then we start incurring interest payments.
Right.
And it's a large amount. If we have a review by our attorney and our attorney agrees with us making that payment, are we okay to release that?
It would have to come back before the council on our next mm-hmm. meeting.
We have a council audit committee. If they reviewed it, would that make it quicker? Or would you...
Mr. Mayor, I would prefer that item come back before the council next session.
Regardless of any interest that we may incur.
I'd rather not break the law And I'd rather legal counsel give us that information, whether we are in good standing with the current laws or not.
I would be careful about reviewing it with the attorney, because if it's the same attorney that wrote that ordinance that violated the RCW, she was complicit in this. And I don't know if it's worth having that attorney review it, or if we need some outside.
It was a different attorney.
Okay.
Pardon?
It was a different attorney.
Okay.
Yeah. Or I mean, well, when, depending on when Sean Logan was mayor and he was also made the city administrator, that was a different attorney back then. Is that what you're talking about?
Or are you I'm talking about the attorney.
Then that was the same attorney.
In like November or whatever they did to, quote, separate the job so he was city administrator and could continue, which to me implied the job was the same. And now all of a sudden the new ordinance in last November, December said it was separate and he could continue as city administrator. That's the one that violated RCW. And I don't know why the attorney wasn't involved with the county when the filing fee came out for $1,900, explaining to the county that this was a separate position and the filing should have only been $170.
Our attorney is our attorney. She's not. She doesn't represent the county.
That's representing the city, because city people like me didn't run for mayor because we didn't want to pay $1,900 and be city administrator. We only wanted to be mayor. And if I had known that it was two separate jobs and all I had to pay was $170 and be mayor, I would have ran for mayor.
Mr. Mayor, point of order. I could bring us back to you.
Okay. So the motion was made and seconded.
Oh, I had, did we call the question? Because I had a discussion point.
I was going to ask for further.
Thank you.
Further comment.
I didn't hear.
Spencer, what?
I don't think there was a.
Do you have any idea when we will start accruing fines for payment?
I'm not exactly sure. No.
How long would it take to find that out?
I could find out tomorrow.
I mean, just dealing with L&I a lot in the past, I'm not anticipating them to suddenly change their mind on our position. I'm just concerned about fines that we don't have to occur and how big they could potentially be.
You also have attorney fees.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you've been fined by L&I before. It's not pretty.
How can you guys keep saying L&I when it's Employment Security Department?
I think it goes.
Yeah, sorry, that's my fault.
Employee Securities.
Yes. Mr. Mayor, point of order, can come back to you. Okay. Amendment I put to the floor.
Okay. So we need a vote on the point of order to bring it back to the subject first, I believe. Am I correct on that one?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes, we did have a second. I believe that was.
That was me.
Yep. Second.
Quick vote on the point of order. All of
you need to. You can rule on that yourself.
So okay,
if you pull it right back to order, that's your call.
So at this moment, I will take a vote on the current motion as proposed by Councilmember Barnes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. So it's a 6. Kelly, was that opposed or?
No, that was just a lag. I am an aye for the motion.
Okay. No, so it's unanimous? 7-0.
I said nay.
Oh, you said nay. Okay. So it's 6-1 vote on that. So carries. We will have that reviewed and have it back at the next meeting with answers on that.
Again, point of order, we need to vote on that motion that Daryl made.
I believe we just did.
You did.
Oh, we were voting on the point of order to stop discussion, was my understanding.
He didn't stop discussion, yeah. He requested for it to go back to on topic, which the mayor acted on.
Okay.
You'll be happy to know it says on here, due date for this quarter, June 1st, 2026.
Okay.
That helps.
So we're good timing.
That helps. Good catch. Good.
Okay. We'll go on to the next subject. Proclamation for National Day of Prayer. I have a proclamation I would like to read here. The National Day of Prayer. Whereas on April 17th, 1952, the Congress of the United States approved the joint resolution to provide for setting aside an appropriate day as a National Day of Prayer. And whereas the National Day of Prayer has great significance for all of us as a nation, and whereas at this important time in our history, we also pray for those brave members of our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, and other first responders who put themselves in harm's way to protect their fellow Americans. Now, therefore, I, Ken Johnson, Mayor of Ofello, do hereby, Thursday, May 7th, 2026, as the National Day of Prayer in Ofello, and I encourage all citizens of our community to join together in giving thanks for our many freedoms and blessings. And I believe there will be a gathering out here in front of City Hall at noon on May 7th for anybody that would like to attend that. Now on to the next subject. I'll read a little statement here. As per the Ofello Municipal Code 2.10.020, the city administrator shall be appointed by the mayor, subject to confirmation by a majority vote of city council. The city started the search for the new city administrator in January of this year. We have advertised for the position and received 18 applications in response. I appointed a hiring committee consisting of myself, Councilmember Barnes, Councilwoman Camp, Councilmember Doral, Finance Officer Spencer Williams, City Clerk Tanya Morales, and Administrative Assistant Brianna Garza to review the applications and select four applicants to interview. We conducted interviews on Friday, April 10th, 2026. The applicants were interviewed by 2 6-member panels. The panels were made up of myself, 3 council members, all city department heads, administrative assistant, and a member of the community. Once the interviews were complete, all 12 panelists met together to discuss the applicants. We discussed each and determined Aaron Garza would be the best fit for the position. Aaron Garza was informed of our decision and has accepted. I am proud to present Aaron Garza as the new city administrator for the city of Ofello for council confirmation.
I'll move to confirm the appointment of Aaron Garza as city administrator.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We caught that as an aye, Kelly.
Thank you.
Yes. And thank you very much for everybody that took part in that. I believe we have a good person going into that role, especially experiencing the work he has stepped up in the last couple weeks also to help move in that position. Aaron, I'm going to give you a couple moments right now.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to say thank you to all the council for your support. I am very excited to hold this position. I look forward to this position. I pledge to do the very best I can do every single day, and I'm excited to serve the city in this new capacity. So I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you all, and I look forward to getting to work. Thank you.
Gotta be the shortest.
That's
got to be the shortest tenure of police chief I've ever seen.
Believe me, the police department is still in good hands, and they will be in good hands. And Aaron's just going to be right across the hallway. So we look forward to it. And I've told you from the very beginning as police chief, I still look forward for you the next 20 years. So
appreciate it.
I think we got that. Now we go on to the next subject, adoption of ordinance 1640, creating a new Ophelia Municipal Code, 5.50, related to the prohibition and sale, advertisement, and distribution of kratom products. Now, at this time, I will allow public comment. We will give each person 5 minutes at this time to present what they have. I know we have a couple here tonight. Go ahead and raise your hand, and I will go ahead, and if you want to step up to the podium and tell us who you are.
Hi, thank you. I appreciate the council allowing me the time to speak. My name is Dwayne Krause. I live in the city of Napavine, Washington, which is in Lewis County. Here to speak on this ordinance 1647. I'll give you a little bit of background about myself quickly here. I'm also in public service. I serve as mayor pro tem of the city of Napavine, but I do want to stress that I'm here in my personal capacity at this time. Along with that, I am a board member of the Chehalis Basin Flood Authority. I'm on the Lewis County Law and Justice Council. With the school district, I'm on an advisory board for the career training and education program for the Napavine School District, vice president of the Napavine New Ockham Lions Club. So my community involvement is very strong and something I'm very passionate about. So I want to thank all of you for the service that you provide to your community as well. My personal background, I grew up playing ice hockey. Got me through college. It was my first official job. Got a paycheck for it. But that being said, playing hockey is not easy on the body. Been through a lot of broken bones, a lot of aches and pains, and I hate to admit this, but now that I'm getting older, I feel that. So when I retired from the sport of hockey, doctors prescribed painkillers for me. Painkillers are a nasty, horrible way to live life. I was on an extremely high amount of painkillers that were prescribed, and that was the path I was told to take. Frankly, I felt like a zombie constantly. I couldn't work, couldn't hold a job. I was living in a fog every day of my life. Had a phone conversation with somebody I played hockey with for years, asked him how he dealt with that issue of his life, and he suggested to me that I try kratom. So I did a little bit of research, found a store that sold it, went and bought some. The day I took kratom, approximately 11 years ago right now, was the last painkiller I took that day. Kratom got me my life back. There are, since then, in that time, there's been other products that have come out that are advertised as quote-unquote kratom products. What I take is loose leaf, raw kratom. It's a leaf ground up into a powder, put into a capsule. That got me my life back. The products that are out there today, specifically 7OH, is anything but that. The comparison I make, it's the difference between a potato and vodka. Kratom being the potato, 7OH being the vodka. The problem is with 7OH. I fully support a ban on the sale of 7OH and kratom extracts. I would urge you as a council, don't lump loose leaf kratom in with the dangers that 7OH clearly has. The federal government announced in July that they're in the process of banning 7OH, and during that announcement, they specifically said they are not targeting loose leaf kratom. In fact, they brought up as part of the press conference to announce the process of banning it, they brought up somebody that had a story very similar to mine, that loose leaf kratom got them their life back. They said that kratom itself is safe, and it can be beneficial to the people that take it. Kratom got me my life back. I don't want to see a ban on loose leaf Kratom. I urge you as a council to amend Ordinance 1647 to specifically be 7OH being banned and allow the sale and distribution of loose leaf Kratom. I personally work in the Kratom business. I was so passionate about it. I found myself having a career in that business. My company doesn't sell any Kratom in your area, but I'm starting to see a trend of cities lumping in Kratom with the 7OH and banning it altogether. And I would just urge an amendment to 1647 that will allow for the sale of loose leaf Kratom so people can take it responsibly and have their life back. In my last 20 seconds, I want to thank the city clerk, the chief of police, and the mayor for the phone calls over the last couple of weeks. And thank you for your time.
Questions? Hey, a question on that?
Yeah.
What's the difference between the loose leaf and the 7OH? What makes it so different?
Yeah. Loose leaf Kratom, it's a plant. The Kratom plant is grown in Southeast Asia. Thousands of years ago, the natives of Southeast Asia, they realized they would pick this leaf off of the plant. They could put it in water, make a tea out of it, and it would help with aches and pains. The plant itself is actually a member of the coffee family. So some of the varieties can give you a little bit of energy as well, similar to like a coffee, you know, having a cup of coffee in the morning. And then over time, they realized they could dry that leaf, grind it up into a powder, and then export it across the world. 7OH is, they basically take the ingredients, or the natural properties of the leaf, and they extract it out, and they give you much higher doses to where you can actually feel the doses. And I'm not speaking very scientifically, I apologize. It's basically chemically altered Kratom from my experience. I will say I have tried 7OH one time. I will never do it again. It's night and day difference. It's comparing apples to oranges. Whereas the raw loose leaf Kratom, you're literally just grinding a plant into a powder. And the 7OH is chemically altered to be a completely different product. And that's why I use the potato and vodka comparison. Does that answer your question, sir?
Yes.
Thank you.
Chris?
My question is, what is the recommended dosage and treatment regime for opioid addiction for Kratom?
Well, Kratom is not an opioid.
I asked for opioid addiction, correct? You were talking about pain meds that these were used on?
Yeah, so.
Guessing that was opioids?
Those are opioids. I was on opioids, yes. So I guess, are you asking, like?
I'm asking what is the regimen that is recommended and dosages for opioid treatment by Kratom? Is that published anywhere? Does that exist?
It's not, and the reason for that is the FDA, who, by the way, absolutely to this day refuses to test Kratom. They're the ones that would have to publish those sort of recommendations. Myself, the company I work for, we cannot provide dosage recommendations. That has to come from the FDA itself. That being said, you get a lot of people doing a lot of trial and error with Kratom. And the one thing about raw loose leaf Kratom, it's not really something you can overdose on. It's similar to taking too much of a vitamin. Your body uses so much of it, and the rest of it, your body excretes. You can do all the research you want. You won't find anybody that's overdosed on Kratom. It just doesn't happen.
That's actually up for debate.
I would call a study for that any day of the week and happily review it with anybody.
How does naloxone work against Kratom?
I cannot answer that question, sir.
Same way it does for opioids. And that's been found.
Okay.
It's the same reversal agent. There's a fair number of misdiagnosed heroin overdoses that are treated. We don't know what they were, but there's a possibility, very likely, it could be that based on the studies that were presented to us. Are there any other medications that are out there that can be used for opioid treatments that do have regimens and do have doses that are currently available for opioid treatment?
Currently, I can't answer that question.
Suboxone. Suboxone is the most used one right now, and it's pretty effective.
As far as
it's well studied, well, I mean, it's not people guessing what they should take to use this. It is an established program that is pretty successful, used real regularly in Seattle. I should probably tell you I have a DEA license.
Appreciate that. Okay. Going back to what your comment about people overdosing on kratom, unfortunately, because of the new 70H, since it's been on the market, a lot of overdoses have occurred with 70H, and they are being reported as kratom overdoses, when in reality, it's a completely different thing. So I would want to discuss further with you and reference back to that to see if it's 70H overdose that's being called a kratom overdose, because a lot of people take 70H and they say, oh, the package says kratom. That doesn't necessarily mean they're taking kratom. It means they're taking 70H. You guys want to ban 70H? I will march for you and with you and chant it to the top of my lungs and fully support that, because it is very confusing for a lot of consumers out there, because they see on the 70H packaging that it is derived from kratom. Well, that would be like getting a DUI and saying I ate a potato. It's not the same thing. So that's.
I would like to allow for more time for public comment.
Thank
you. Have we got, thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it.
Yes. Have we got anybody else out there that would like to speak? Go ahead and tell us who you are.
Hello, Council. My name is Amy DeLugi, and I'm actually one of the most educated people in regards to the differentiation between 70H and the Kratom plant itself. I'm the person that stood in front of the Moses Lake City Council, and I'm the person that got a hold of Ken Johnson. I've actually been working with Steve Robinson and Sean Ryan, who is ex-DEA, and he owns one of the largest podcasts. And the reason why I became so interested in it is because I am a part of the cannabis market, and in being part of the cannabis market, it has been very, very important to stress and help affect in a positive nature public health and safety. The reason why I stepped in regards to being vocal is because we believe that 70H and or the derivative of has hit the cannabis market, and we have no active traceability, so we have no ability to trace contaminants back. So I started getting independently affirmative in action. So I'm very proud of you guys, and I support you guys 110%. Kratom, correct, is a plant. It is a plant that is being highly abused in many markets, and it is very, very damaging. Kratom contains 70H, and just like this gentleman pointed out, what can you do with a potato? You can make the derivative of, and it's not very difficult to do. The differentiation between the kratom plant, which contains 70H, and it does bond to the opioid receptors, it does respond to Suboxone. So we have a major public health and safety issue. And until we can combat this public health and safety issue, it is very important that we ban it altogether. And the reasoning why, we have a foreign country who has been able to take this derivative of, and they have made the semi-synthetic form 70H. They already have 80H, it has been confirmed. They have 90H, it has been confirmed. Mm. They were able to go back into a chemistry room and make a very, very dangerous compound. What does it do? 10 times more effective than morphine, 10 times more addictive, and 10 times more damaging to the human body. What morphine does to the human organs in 20 years, 70H does in 2 years, you guys. It's been known to kill the fetus inside the womb because of the capacity and the intensity of the toxicity. We are talking about a very serious substance. It's not just believed to be sold in grocery stores. In the state of Washington, we have no age limit whatsoever, you guys. Mm-hmm. I've already done my due diligence. I walked into a grocery store. Could you live with yourself if you had a 9-year-old in the vehicle? When you go into the grocery store, it says kratom/7OH. You are correct. There is no differentiation. You don't know what it is. That 9-year-old says, hey, can I get these gummies? You say, absolutely. There is no age limit. The people selling it don't even know what they're selling. I have questioned in a mass. That child eats all of those gummies on their way to Seattle, and all of a sudden you can't wake that child up. You just killed that 9-year-old, all by not being educated on what this substance is. Education is key. It's already being sold inside of the schools. Children know what it is. People are already highly addictive. You made a very serious point, Chris. You said, aren't there already things out there that the FDA has approved that can be utilized? The majority of the people that are pushing back are drug addicts. When I first learned about what Kratom was, it's when I opened my retail cannabis store and people started coming to me saying, do you want to buy Kratom? Do you want to buy Kratom? I said, well, what is Kratom? I even have samples in the back of my store. And they said, well, it's to help you come off of heroin. So I said, so you use this as a replacement for heroin, for Oxycontins? It primarily started to emerge when they started putting the plastic substance inside our cotton so people could no longer smoke them. So what did they do? They created this substance. It is being addressed nationwide, and it's not just in your it is not just in your gas stations. It's already been implemented, or has been allegedly implemented, in powder-formed energy drinks and ice creams. It's very serious. There's huge congressional movements happening, and this is sitting on some tables. But until legislation takes affirmative action, I commend the fact that you guys have done so.
Amy, and, yes. Your 5 minutes is up. So I appreciate your time here. I do have a question for you,
yep.
though. Currently, when I go into any pharmacy, especially Walmart, and I go to purchase a cold medicine, certain ones, I have to actually go to the pharmacist counters and purchase that. I can only purchase so much of it, and I have to show ID for it, which is a common, but it's also being used in the production of methamphetamine.
You are correct.
Understanding. Yes. So, if somebody was able to go purchase a large amount of loose leaf kratom,
yes,
could they go do the same thing and produce 7-OH?
7-OH is semi-synthetic, but can they extract the 7-OH out of it? We don't quite know what 7-OH is to date. And the reason why we can't identify anybody ODing is because there's no direct panel for it. Because the minute they get caught, they change the substance. So they would have to have the equation, and they are very tricky right now with changing the substance. That's why we're on the 7th molecule and the 8th and the 9th. So I can't take that statement and make an absolute out of that, because there is a differentiation. Now, can you extract the 7-OH aspect of it, which is what is considered the opioid aspect of it? Yes, you can, sir. You absolutely can.
Thank you. You answered my question there. Okay, is there any further comment or questions for Amy? Okay, we have one other person for comment.
Okay, so a few things here. Have you guys
Could you tell us your name?
My name is Lance. I'm a citizen here.
Okay.
Okay. So my question is, your DEA, are you a doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So two things real quick. So I'm an ex-athlete, and I also have other problems that I don't want to have opiates for. So I want to pursue every option without having to get those. Because of their side effects. So there's two questions, really. So do you feel like you've done your research? You want to pass this ordinance tonight? Is that correct?
That's up to the council to pass this.
Do you feel like due diligence has been done? You've talked to enough doctors and got enough information for that?
That's just a yes or no question.
I feel pretty strongly about what I know about it.
Okay, so that's a yes?
Yes.
Okay, just like I said, ask yes or no question. So the other thing is, I just Googled it, so I'm not, I haven't heard of kratom until tonight, but as an ex, but with my pain, I'm interested in that, as in pursuing cannabis as well, naturopathic things versus opiates. So do you, will you pass the ordinance, and then when the state, so the state hasn't banned it yet, so can a city ban it while the state has not banned it?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So, and so when the state, if the state allows it and has grants control, then does this ordinance still stand? So, so city ordinances can supersede state ordinances?
They can. And my sole intention to, when I first brought this to the council for proposal, was the state attempted to take some action on this, and they were failed to do it this year. And I believe that we as a city needed to take some action on it. Mm-hmm. And until such time that the state does step in and start to have some controls over it and set some good standards and laws about it.
Plus, there are 17 states that have outright banned it currently in the U.S.
Washington.
What's that?
Also, three cities in Washington have already banned it as well.
Okay, well, 17 states is not Washington state. None of those 17 states are Washington state, of course. So, so I can be assured if you pass this, or, pass this ordinance, it'll stand if the state, it's, it'll stand against the state ordinance, whatever the state rules. Is that correct? You won't have to reverse it?
We do not have to, but that is up to future councils to decide that.
Okay, so from my, what I'm hearing, I'm not hearing, to me, I'm not hearing enough discussion of like doctor, any, we got people that, that aren't doctors. And since I'm new to this just tonight, I don't feel good about you guys voting passing without more information, unless, like I said, you're assuring me you have your due diligence and the information you need on this medical advice, correct?
We've had information that was researched.
We've had
multiple studies,
three meetings and multiple studies on this. The studies that were posted on the agenda the last three meetings, Aaron gave us three studies in total, correct?
It was the same study.
Yeah. And then this new one that was in the packet tonight, so two studies, right?
Okay, so that's
fine. And three conversations.
I can get that in minutes or
yes.
Public record
yep,
requests?
Yes, they're okay. In there.
Okay, yeah. All right, thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, any other comments on that? Okay, at this time, I would entertain a motion by council.
I'll make the motion to ban kratom.
Can you state
I can,
the ordinance?
I'll put it in the form. Sorry. Put in the form of the ordinance. I'll make the motion to adopt Ordinance 1647, creating a new Othello Municipal Code, Chapter 5.5, related to the prohibition of sale and advertisement of and distribution of kratom products.
Second.
We have a motion and we have a second. Any further discussion?
I do want to make some other further discussion.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to thank the council for allowing us to come out for public comment. This matter is serious. I do find this item to be a serious public safety issue, but I did want public comment before I levied a vote on this matter.
Thank you.
I want to take the opportunity to explain. And like I said, being somebody who holds a DEA license, being somebody who's the immediate past president of the state of Washington's Dental Association, I have above average access to some of the biggest national experts on this topic. And I've talked to all the three of the biggest directly. The thing you have to understand about this, in any form, it goes to the exact same place. It's called the mu receptor, and it's in your brain. And the only other thing that goes to it is opioids. So when people classify this as an opioid, it is because of that activity that it is doing it. That is the ultimate concern. And it's my concern. And the effects that it has, synthetic or not, everything still goes to that receptor. And that is a big deal. And until the FDA, until the DEA can make some recommendations on this, this is dangerous to have available to our public. And I think we are doing a service. I understand other cities may not do this, but we're doing a service to our citizens to at least put it on all of their radar to pay attention to this. Is it going to stop everyone from using? No, nothing's ever stopped anyone from using drugs. But what it will do is make people pay attention to what they are using and maybe prevent somebody who could have experimented with this that really could have ruined their lives.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimous carry. Now we will go on to unfinished business.
Got something. So the Columbia Street, that's one way, and the other street, aren't those getting turned back to two-way?
Yes. Ooh.
And when will this happen?
Really? They were supposed to be here this week. The last week in April, the state is supposed to come back, do the striping on the roundabout at 26, and do restripe both Waluke and Columbia Street.
And just to clarify, that was because the roundabout was put in, so we no longer needed those to be one-way streets, correct?
Correct.
So it was part of that original project?
Yes.
Okay.
And they just didn't want to do the striping. The striping doesn't stay as well if it's too cold because mm-hmm. it's thermoplastic, so they wanted to wait until it was warm enough.
Thank you.
Okay, any more unfinished business? I would like to just let everybody know, because it's been a big question, the splash pad. Right now, the tentative start date for the contractor is May 11th.
Oh, wow.
Exciting.
We'll probably be late July before it's in, but we should have it up and going for the latter part of the summer.
Just in time for the heat.
New business. Is there any new business to bring in front of the council?
So, new business. Chief?
Yes?
Here on, I don't know if it was on Mount Adams or Mount Baker last year, there was an accident on one of the intersections. Mm-hmm. And the guy was going so fast that he kind of put the car on the side. You remember that?
He rolled it?
No, he hit him and he laid him on the side.
So I'm thinking on 9th, 11th, and 13th on Mount Adams intersection and Mount Baker, put some stop signs on the south side and north side. I had two really close ones last week. So I was coming north, south, and I had the right of way. And I don't know how I saved that one. I just barely cleared. The guy must have been doing 50, 55 miles an hour. He was going fast. I've had two close incidents like that. So I think them two streets, like Olympia has stop signs on both sides of it. You know, that helps us out before I get into Olympia, because I live there. You stop, you look both ways, and you go. I think the width of the road, especially in Mount Adams, that it's 40 feet, and then Mount Baker, we reduced it to 36, I think. With that 40-foot width, people are flying through there. Mm-hmm. They're flying through there. Olympia, I mean, you have to live there to see how many cars speed through there. So if you could hit a car, if you hit a car and lay it on its side, that tells you everything right there. So I think Mount Adams, Mount Baker, 9th, 11th, and 13th should have a stop sign on both sides of the road.
Angel, could I make a recommendation with mm-hmm. that? I love that we're talking about traffic safety first off. When we were doing the traffic safety, when I was still on Planning Commission, we learned stop signs are incredibly expensive. Now, I'm not saying that shouldn't be the route we go, but maybe we should look at if there's any alternatives that could be a little more affordable and are as effective, because we also learned that stop signs to become effective when there's too many in one area. Gosh, I can't remember when we reviewed that data, and it was quite a while ago, like 2022 maybe. So we reviewed this data quite a while, it's been like 4 years now. But we did learn that when you have too many stop signs in one area, they're not effective anymore. So maybe we could do a mix and match of traffic safety devices in that area to help reduce it, but that was one thing we did come across.
Well, what we did there, we have 7th, of course. Mm-hmm. We skipped 8th, we got 9th.
So you're talking like every 10th, other?
11th. So we only have three
streets that are that go through. And they hit Hamlet at the park, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all we're asking is for six intersections. It's not like you have, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, all the way to 13th. So we're talking about six intersections.
Oh, and that's, I'm just saying, well, I've seen on it is that when we put too many in one area, they just don't become effective according to the data.
So what we did in Mount Cascade is cul-de-sacs, which I don't know if Sean had brought that up or you had. Those help. Those are awesome.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you turn on 7th and you look all the way to 14th and you're 40 foot wide, you're going to hammer down.
Yeah.
Period. Mm-hmm. Now, the two cul-de-sacs that we have, mm-hmm. if you're going east from 7th, you know, from 7th on Cascade or vice versa, if you're coming from 14th into Cascade, you got two cul-de-sacs in the end. So what does that tell you? Hey, you're not going to pick up speed because there's a short distance.
Mm-hmm.
But Mount Adams and Mount Baker do have that potential, like Olympia, for people to just, I mean, go.
Are you recommending the stop signs for traffic going east to west? Is that what you're recommending? Where they stop if they're going, or the other
south,
north
like
and
Olympia.
South instead? So you would want like Mount Adams or Mount Baker to have the right of way the entire time? Going north to south?
Yeah, well, you're gonna put a stop sign on Adams on the north side, south side, go to Mount Baker, north side and south side, do the same for 9th, 11th, and 13th.
Okay, Chris, you
got it. I do want to jump into this, because what Alma was talking about, I was also on Planning Commission for, and you have to look, there's actually some engineering standards backed up with a lot of data, and as much as I hate, the reason why we moved away from stop signs is because we found those to be the least effective traffic calming item you can have. There's other things that are better. You brought one up, cul-de-sacs, curves. You know, you guys put humps down mm-hmm. fourth. These are all part of that. What I would highly recommend instead, I think, you know, turning this over to streets, reviewing best options to address, because ultimately what you're looking for the best option to mm-hmm. to fix, to calm that traffic down.
Yeah.
And we kind of jumped to stop signs first, which turns out to be the least effective of the possible things that we could do.
Hmm.
You know, we have a whole bunch of these yellow traffic circles that everyone hates that, you know, decreased our traffic issues by 70% and crime 20%. Go figure. You know, not saying that that's the way to fix that, but there might be multiples, and having the streets review what are the best and then taking those forwards would be what I would recommend after experience going through it myself.
I noticed 4th Street had some low, shallow speed bumps put on it to help slow down the traffic.
Yeah, but them speed bumps there, they like...
They need to be taller.
They're...
I mean... Kids love it. They'll tell their parent to go faster.
I kind of like it too, actually.
They need to be thicker.
It's not bumps.
Yeah.
I have three questions from the departments regarding those throughways from 7th to 14th. What is the average speed of individuals crossing through those roadways? What are the number of collisions that have been reported on those roadways?
Get ready.
And what is the traffic volume that proceeds on those roadways?
Okay. Does Anna want it or do I want it?
I know that we will be having a traffic safety done here soon. We've had a grant money that's been appropriated to conduct a safety traffic. Ann, you were going to mention something?
Just a couple of things. One thing is if you put stop signs on the north-south streets, then you're gonna make the east-west streets faster.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then you'll have another hazard. So I guess I would just kind of like following on with Chris of have staff take a look at some possibilities.
Anything to slow down the traffic, that's what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
The main concern.
Darrell, I hope some of your answers will be answered.
Can I answer, Darrell?
I think a study.
I can actually answer that. Darrell, before any traffic calming was done, some of the things that you all have done, the bump outs and the circles and that, you are 400% more likely to be in an accident in Othello than any other city in the state of Washington. That's why we took on traffic safety in the Planning Commission, because we saw that as a gigantic problem. And it was actually Alma's idea with the traffic circles, which I've promised to say I opposed to my error and been proven incredibly wrong on. But we saw traffic. Mm-hmm. The average speed down my street, Hemlock, was 37 miles per hour. How dangerous is that? You know, now that average speed is 24 miles per hour. And the usage dropped almost 80%. So, those are the things. You're looking for things that are going to fix that. And that took the stop signs out of Hemlock. So I would recommend going through and having a comprehensive review of opportunities and making things safer. I completely agree with you, Angel.
Mayor, could I ask that when we come back around to look at these grants, could we maybe get those old studies just put into a packet for us so we could look at those when we're comparing it to future stuff?
And those just were through the Planning Commission?
Through the Planning Commission, yes.
Yeah, those were.
But those studies were actually, they were really, they're big studies, but they were so informative to the decisions when we made those recommendations. There's just so much data in them. I don't know. They're going to obviously be changed, right? Because we applied a lot of those traffic calming devices. But it would be nice to have that original baseline for what we used and compare it to maybe different choices we're going to make in the future with the new grants. But I would like for those to be included in a packet when we come back around for those grants.
Okay. So that's a request?
Yes.
Okay. We will do that.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other new business? Okay, seeing no other business of the council tonight, this meeting is adjourned.
Yeah, 1 hour, dude.
You're right on the money. Your street, that Olympia Street, is the widest street.
Yes.
And it's a friggin' racetrack.
Well, I got Olympia and then Mountain Adams the same. We built it 40 foot wide.
Actually, I drove through.
42, curb to curb.
I drove through your whole thing. Holy cow. The newest section that you got was so impressive. I